Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. It's the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're at the mid-February mark already. Month goes very quickly. That could have something to do with the fact that there are only 28 days. Bob Dio, jump in here real quickly. What did I tell you about the Rito River? And you were absolutely shocked.
I am blown away that you saw father and son fishing this morning.
That's not true.
It is true.
Why would they have a lunch? What are you going
to
catch?
Listen to Tim Stoller of the Star questioning Buckmaster here.
Actually
did happen. And I have a theory about it that, and Bob thinks it's pretty accurate. I think it's just a father and son were kind of goofing around. You know, maybe they had a couple fishing poles around, and the young man said, "Dad, take me fishing." So,
yeah, that makes some sense.
Yeah,
maybe the sand trout are running now.
Maybe they are.
Yeah.
Tim Stoller is here. Tim is the Metro columnist. That I always just say columnist, but now I'll start saying metro columnist. Joe Ferguson has joined us too. Joe also works for the Arizona Daily Star. He's a colleague of Tim Stoller at the paper. Joe has been with the home starship of Lee Enterprise for I think 10 years.
It feels like that, but
starting in at the Flagstaff paper, and then 5 at the Star. We are here on the Buckmaster Show weekdays during the noon hour on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. I do like to do a shout out on Friday to some of the folks in the media that support us, not just Tim and Joe with their wonderful support here on the roundtable on Friday. We have the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun support us, TucsonSentinel.com, the Tucson Local Media Group. They have a portfolio of 6 publications: Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oral Valley Explorer is now part of their family, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, Democrat representing one of the largest, I think it may be the largest congressional district in the United States, excluding Wyoming, running from Oral Valley on the south end all the way to Flagstaff and beyond on the north end. I also want to point out that Representative O'Halloran is now the co-chair of something called the Blue Dog Coalition, commonly known as Blue Dog Democratic Caucus, of congressional folks from the Democratic Party who identify as fiscally responsible centrist Democrats. Congressman O'Halloran joining us now on the live line from Washington. Did I get that fairly accurate, Congressman, about the Blue Dogs?
Yes, there's 3 co-chairs. I'm one of them now, and we are a little more centrist on fiscal issues and defense issues, and then obviously on social issues and stuff. Our values are more tilted towards addressing the needs of our citizens.
How are you today, by the way? First of all, welcome to the program.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm heading out of town in about an hour and heading back to Arizona for about a week, and I enjoy it, and I'm glad we finally got this issue of the budget completed and done with for now.
Well, the budget, yes, that for now, but those that are saying about the national emergency that this is just really in effect, playing to President Trump's base. What is your take on a national emergency? Is there a national emergency in this country on the border?
Well, there's a bipartisan look at that, and we agree that there's no reason for a national emergency declaration at this point in time. Almost all of us across the spectrum at the Capitol, and I think that there's many other issues that our country faces that are important also. We all want a secure border. I mean, that's a given. It's how we go about it. And one of the big issues we have down there is we don't have 3,000 border patrol that we're short. It's not that we need those people on the ground out there, and we're not being aggressive enough in hiring them. And of course, the technology issue. And I see in the president's emergency declaration that he wants to take $2.5 billion out of drug interdiction. And we've had all this discussion about protecting our country from drugs, and here we got $2.5 billion being taken out.
All right, I'm going to bring my colleagues in. We'll begin with Joe Ferguson from The Star. Go ahead, Joe.
Congressman, what's your read on how much President Trump is asking for in terms of this emergency declaration?
Well, it's about $8 billion, a little bit more than that. $3.5 billion coming out of military construction, which I want to point out is part of our readiness program. I was on Armed Services Committee the last 2 years, and this is critical money for our military. They asked us time and time and time again to get this type of money into the readiness program. And of course, I just mentioned the $2.5 billion for drug interdiction, and then there's a program of drug forfeiture funds, and that's around $400 to $600 million.
So my follow-up question on that is if he's asking for $8 billion, and the number we've been hearing for the longest time is $5.7 billion, do we have a sense in where he wants to put that extra $2.3 billion? Are we going to see construction projects along the border here in southern Arizona?
Well, at least proposed. My second term in Congress, and I haven't seen one piece of paper that clearly identifies where anything goes or how the program's supposed to work. We've asked for that information time and time again, and it hasn't been forthcoming. And so I think what we put forward this time, as far as in the bill goes, is that we want to know where this money is going to be spent. And we still have, there was in the military budget last year, $1.6 billion in a separate line item, and it would go to the border issue. And that money hasn't all been spent. So if there's a true emergency down there, let's make sure that we're addressing the security needs with the money we have. And obviously now we have another $1.3 billion that will get us to basically almost $4 billion of money to be spent down there.
All right, let's bring in now the Metro columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, Tim Steller, who in a recent column, as I recall, maybe a week or two ago, talked to different ranching interests along the border. And Tim, didn't it all boil down to, it kind of depended on who you talked to, whether or not they believe it's an emergency?
Yeah, I was focusing a little more on the specific wall and fence proposals, and trying to point out that some of the voices that are more commonly quoted or make themselves available for comment are not necessarily representative of the broader rural or ranching community in southern Arizona. And yeah, so that is the case. It's a pretty diverse set of points of view. Congressman O'Halloran, I wanted to ask you, so you talked a bit about the nuts and bolts of the president's declaration. What about the principle of it, the constitutionality, the political wisdom? Do you see a problem with the constitutionality of the declaration in this context? And if so, what do you think we should do about it?
Well, legal scholars that we've talked to say that the president's going to have a hard time even at the Supreme Court level. And we have a worry in Congress, which is we have the same powers here as far. In fact, we have the budgetary powers. We're a co-equal branch of government, and we need to be able to identify if we budget, whether it's 3.5 for the military or 2.5 for the drug enforcement issues. That's where the money should be spent. And if you're not going to spend it that way, you need to come back to Congress and give the reasons why you're not going to do that and get our approval. We've gone down this path, and we can't allow it to continue where people are taking money and moving it all around on budgetary processes and not coming back to Congress. And I don't care what party they're from. They need to follow the process as envisioned by our founding fathers. So, yes, and a little bit of follow-up on your other issue. if you go to Texas and ask people along that border, there are tremendous amounts of legal lawsuits right now of eminent domain down there, private property holders, not wanting that fence built on their property. And that's one of the holdups of why Texas has not had as much fencing as Arizona has had.
Changing the topic a little bit, have you been following the water situation in Arizona, the drought contingency plan passage? And I know you represent Pinal County, among many other areas. What can you tell us about what your thoughts are on what we're doing about possible upcoming water shortages and what you can do in Congress?
Well, the first thing is I've had people from my office at those meetings on a consistent basis. I have met with head of CAP and the head of ADWR, Arizona Department of Water Resources, and representatives from the governor's office throughout this process. And I think they're going in the right direction on this right now. But I'm hopeful that they follow up and not take too much of a break here and start to get and address the long-term implications for water in Arizona. A number of years ago when I was in the legislature, I couldn't believe it when I found out that Arizona at the time had been a state over 100 years, and we didn't have a drought management plan, a conservation plan statewide, nor did we have a statewide water plan. And so I was able to get legislation passed to do that. And here we are, at least 10 years later, if not 13, and we're not moving aggressively enough to identify where our water is going to be coming from. And every moment that we take and don't get the answers to this, the price of any, whether it's augmentation or what, just continues to rise. And it's pretty well recognized that a certain level of conservation will help us. But in the long run, we have to find new water to just make sure we secure our position for the future.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show. The gentleman on our live line is Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Democrat representing the Congressional District Number 1 in the state of Arizona. With me in our state-of-the-art spaceship studio, Tim Stiller is here from the Arizona Daily Star, his colleague from the Star, Joe Ferguson. Tim, what should I talk about next?
Oh, I would consider talking about pastries if I were you.
Well, Mona's Danish Bakery, Tim, is the home of the Danish Kringle. Joe Ferguson, have you been up to the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise as you drive around town looking for news?
I have, but I've resisted the temptation to stop in. Please, well, for my doctor.
One of these days you will be stopping by, because this is a great time now to stop by, have lunch, have a great sandwich. My wife was up there this morning and brought home probably the biggest chocolate chip cookie I think I have ever seen in my life. I'll have to divide it up into maybe 8 parts and have a little bit here, a little bit there. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. On the web at monasdanishbakery.com, there's a link at buckmastershow.com, not just to Mona's, but to all the great partners. There's about 20 different links to people who make this program possible. Okay, Stellar sticks around. Joe Ferguson sticks around. I obviously will stick around. And Congressman O'Halloran after we take the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. With me in studio, Joe Ferguson, political writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and his colleague from the Star, Metro columnist Tim Steller. On our Buckmaster Show live line from Washington, United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, Democrat representing the very, very large, sprawling district number one. Tim Steller, about an hour or so before you were to come here to the studio, you posted on your, you have quite a few Facebook friends that follow you, and you asked, you mentioned you're going to be on the program and mentioned who you would be speaking to. You had quite a bit of response, didn't you?
I always do.
Yeah, what was one of the questions
that
emerged?
There's one that maybe Joe would be a little more apt to ask, that is about Congressman O'Halloran's political future.
Mm-hmm. And the reason Joe would be more in tune perhaps with this, Joe did spend 5 years covering the Flagstaff City Council. What's going on? Does it look like Tom O'Halloran will have a challenger in the primary?
Yeah, she has an announced challenger. Eva Putzova, formerly from the Flagstaff City Council, has announced that she will run against him. Putzova was on the council during a time where the Flagstaff raised its minimum wage and successfully defended that minimum wage after it was challenged by people upset in the area. So she comes from that section. I've known Eva Putzova, and she was a source for all 7 years that I was up there in Flagstaff.
And what does Congressman O'Halloran think about this challenge? Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I mean, every American's entitled to run for office. I always look forward to a competition. I have all my life, and we'll let the citizens identify who has the stronger program and who's who has the experience level necessary to be in Congress.
Bill, did I just hear that Congressman Rahawaran has announced that he's running for re-election in 2020 on your program?
I put that out on a tweet about a week and a half ago. I did not want to do it during the closure of government because I think we needed to concentrate not on our re-elections, but on making sure that we were doing our job here as much as possible in Washington, D.C.
Go ahead, Tim.
So this is a challenge more or less from the left, if I'm not mistaken, Joe, right?
It is.
Yeah, so, I mean, are you kind of open, do you think, because of your status as a Blue Dog Democrat to a more progressive challenger who might get a lot of Democratic primary votes, Congressman?
Well, I don't know where those votes are going to fall out, but I'm not going to cede any ground on the values that I run on. And I don't know many people out there and their families that don't care about making sure they're fiscally responsible with the money in their household. And I also believe that my record speaks for itself on many issues that are out there, whether they are social issues or environmental issues. I have a solid record in all those areas and have been very successful at addressing issues that are relative to today, whether it is climate change, which I have been acknowledged since at least 2002 and have worked on issues relating to that long before you hear all the uproar now that is going on, and it's gotten more serious. You know, our national forest, I've been somebody that's worked on forestry issues and preservation of those forests for a long time, and we're working very hard on uranium issues up on the Navajo Reservation. So I won't take a back seat to anybody on my record on those issues.
And that was one of the questions that popped up on the Tim Stellar post about questions for you. It was, what are you doing about climate change? Tim, was there something else that emerged also in that thread?
Yeah, it was essentially, where you been, Congressman? And now, granted, it's a huge district that you represent, but the idea was that you aren't around here in this section of your district very often.
Okay, I think anybody that knows me knows I've been around that section a lot. We've been in every town in southern Arizona multiple times, whether it's Oro Valley or the Saddlebrook area or Marana. You can talk to any of the mayors down there. They know where I've been. And you can go online at TomOHalloran.com. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a political site. You can go online in on my official site, and you'll see a map of where I've been for the last 2 years. And,
all right.
We are on. I'll be there for a week now, and I'll be home one day.
At home being Sedona, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'll be in Oro Valley this coming week, and Marana, and a number of other places, and Tucson.
One of our callers, Matthew, would like to join in the conversation. He's called us on 790-2040. He's called 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Matt, go ahead. Representative O'Halloran is waiting for your question.
Yeah, Tom, this is Matthew Allison. I just wanted to say, you know, you would be the perfect person to help Nogales manage the issue of the concertina wire because you're more nuanced. I know it's not in your district, but I can tell you that Southern Arizona has basically galvanized around trying to get the Border Patrol to pull back on the concertina at the Nogales Port of Entry. And second, I could really use some help with your staff on some wastewater issues in Naco and Nogales. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Bye.
Okay.
Yeah, call my office and ask for Paul Babbitt, and he'll help you with the wastewater issues and get that information to me. On the concertina wire, I don't understand the need for it. It's more show than real. Anybody can get up. If you can put it up there, you can take it down. As far as somebody wanting to get across the border. And what we need is the technology necessary to see intrusions into our country and respond to them and get those 3,000 the Border Patrol people back where they need to be to secure our border, along with the technology. And you know, we already have 700 miles of border. And I've been down in Nogales. And that town has does not have that much incursion coming across the border. Where it has it is in tunnels that are dug under the fences. And so I was down there as recently as 7-8 months ago, and in many other areas of the border. And I think that's much more show than is needed in this. I think it's much more a political statement than it is a statement of reality.
Now, one of our callers who didn't want to go on the air wonders, what is the difference? Is this some kind of this concertina wire? Is it just another? Is that just a synonym for razor wire? Is it the same thing?
Yeah, it is.
It's just like razor wire.
It is razor wire, but concertina it pulls out like a accordion type instrument. In other words, that's the idea of concertina. That's
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just rolls that you extend across the wall.
But I've seen these pictures, and it looks like there's 6 to 8 rows.
They're separate rolls that are added.
Isn't
one
that
on top of another?
Congressman, isn't that a little bit of an overkill?
I think so, especially in areas where there's already a wall, and we all have a concentration of our agents. This is obviously something new that the administration wants to try, and I and many others disagree with its usage.
Okay, Joe, did you want to have a final question before we wrap it up?
Nothing comes to mind at the moment, but
Tim?
Maybe my colleague does.
Tim?
Yeah, well,
Joe, I think that's a first for you, Joe.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay.
Well, just on this question of your challenge, were you, obviously you said you didn't want to announce your run while the shutdown was happening. Had you decided previous to getting this challenge that you were going to run for re-election? Had you already decided that?
There was no question in my mind. I'll run for re-election this time. If the citizens ask me back, I'll run again.
Okay.
I enjoy public policy. I enjoy helping people. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to have a voice for the people of Arizona's Congressional District 1.
Okay, so it's official. You announcing here on the radio, you are.
He's not just for 2020, it sounds like, Bill, but 2022 if they'll have him back.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Okay, so there you are. We'll end right on that note. Congressman, thank you very much. Have a safe journey back to the Grand Canyon State and to Congressional District 1. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And have a great weekend.
Thanks very much. Actually, a 3-day weekend, President's Day weekend.
For some of us.
Yeah, not
which,
for us, Rachel.
Was kind of a surprise that our new owner, Bustos Media, they observe President's Day. So we will be running a best of program on the Buckmaster Show, an unexpected 3-day holiday. I'll take that. Kind of looking forward to it.
Go out and play in the puddles.
Yeah,
go fishing.
There you go. Go fishing. There you go. All right. We're coming up. We actually are at 12:33, moving on the Buckmaster Show. We've had now our Friday Focus edition of the hour, where we had Congressman Tom O'Halloran announcing not just that he's a candidate in 2020, but he said he'd actually like to go in 2022. If the folks asked him to run again. So Tim Steller will stick around, as will Joe Ferguson. Our top story of the week, I think, is the Mark Kelly announcement, and we'll delve into that after we take our break on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and that little bumper music, La Vida. Where's that, Bob?
Viva La Vida.
Diva. Is that right, Bob? Bob Diva. Diva La Vida. That's kind of the only real song that I like from Coldplay. But anyway,
And it's just pretty much a riff that plays over and over again.
I enjoy it. Tim Steller is here. Tim is the Metro columnist. Which really kind of designates him from the other columnists, many of them who appear on Sunday. And Tim's work appears 3 days a week.
Yep, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Then Joe Ferguson, you could see his work pretty much any day of the week, just depending on what the city editors would like Joe to do. He is available to do it. That's how he earns his living.
He's
right?
All over the place.
Yeah.
He just goes to things.
He's like
where were you at yesterday, Joe?
Man in motion.
I was at Pima College. They are talking about their most recent accreditation round, and they're talking about some of it, and they're not talking about other parts of
were
it.
Were you the only person there?
I was the only member of the public there. Everybody else was required to be there.
Only audience member there.
Wow. Anyway, top story of the week, former astronaut. You become a former, I guess, he's not doing any more space work, Mark Kelly, is he?
Only in commercials.
Huh?
Yes, that's right on TV.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, he's involved with Worldview still, so yeah. I don't know to what
Board
extent.
Board of directors, right?
Yes, I looked it Something up earlier like a, today. It doesn't sound like a very active role.
Well, let me see if I can get this right, because shortly after the Mark Kelly announcement early in the week, Tim, you went to social media and that got some reaction. It kind of seemed like it boiled down from the Mark Kelly haters to there were like 3 points. Let's see if I can get these right. One, Mark Kelly is an opportunist. That was, I think, at the top of the list. Second was some video that was posted concerning a dog attack on a baby seal pup mm-hmm. on a beach, I believe, in San Diego. And there were questions, was this Commander Kelly's dog or was it his daughter's dog or whatever? Uh-huh. And I think that happened 6 years ago. And now the third item had to do with worldview, that how could, you know, there was that explosion at worldview and Mark somehow would be responsible because he's on the board. Did I kind of get that right?
Yeah, I mean, right. There are plenty of things to question him on. The sea mammal thing,
yes.
I don't remember if it's a sea lion or a seal, but it was,
okay.
I took a second look at it. It's just, it's pointless. I mean, it was either his dog or his daughter's dog attacked a baby seal or sea lion.
That's horrible.
And they were trying to get it off, and they couldn't. Right. It was at a beach in, I think it was Laguna Beach or something in California.
Southern California
And
beach.
He went and grabbed the dog and pulled it off and walked away. I mean, I just don't, you know, there are going to be plenty of things to talk about. And they may even put that on an ad, you know. Somebody might put it on it, but that's... And you can criticize them all you want. It's just, I don't see, that doesn't have any salience to me.
But the opportunist thing will probably be.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, you can definitely frame that argument.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think?
I don't think he's the only Democrat running. So
no, it's
I think
Ruben Gallego, a congressperson.
He's still dipping his toe into the pool, but I think he's a very serious person and a very serious, you know, possibility for the nomination for that job, which, you know, really doesn't open up for another year and a half.
Yeah, so. That's a crazy thing about this announcement. It is 20 to 21 months, somewhere in that time frame.
Boy, a lot
before
could happen.
It's like 18 months before the primary, right?
Right.
20 to 21 months before the general. It's an insanely long time. I mean, I reported today that we all heard about the fundraising hall that Mark Kelly had
in the first 24 hours. A huge
$604,000 in online only donations, which is going to be the bulk of them, but still over like 36 hours, they had a million.
Wow.
Anyway, I did the math. You may have seen this in my column today, but if he continues at this pace till the general election, he will raise somewhere in the vicinity of $380
million. $380
million?
Of course not.
But still, I mean, compare the spending of the two candidates, Sinema and McSally, who ran this last year for U.S. Senate, it was a little over $20 million for both of them. So you can expect Kelly, especially if he makes the general election, to far, far exceed that amount.
I'm going to disagree with my colleague for just a minute. That's how much those two women raised for their Congress. But I think that a bulk of the money in the Senate campaign came from other sources. There was the fun little group that was out there attacking Sinema on almost everything, including that lenticular ad that had Phoenix being vaporized. Themselves spent $20 million.
Is that right?
So it was $18 million last time I saw, and I don't think that was the end of the numbers.
Okay, so let me define it a little more closely then. That we can expect the Kelly campaign to spend far, far more than the Sinema or McSally campaigns themselves spent. Though honestly, I would think that the same proportional effect could echo out or ripple out to the outside groups where they would be spending much more than they did in the last campaign.
Well, I think a lot of those groups were surprised by the Sinema win, and so they're going to spend a lot more money this time around to try to support whoever the Republican nominee is, assuming it's, you know,
I would think Mark Kelly will have more trouble in the Democratic primary if Congressperson Gallego gets into it than he might in the general election.
Yeah, I think that's a good
kind of
analysis.
A general statement.
So right. So Gallego is more of a progressive Democrat,
right?
And of course, that is in both parties. The more progressive Democrat tends to vote more in the primary, and more conservative Republican in the Republican primary. So Gallego has a chance no matter what. There's got to be a big caveat here, though. We got 18 months before the primary. We don't know what might happen, what might come out, who might jump in.
Right.
While Kelly looks formidable right now, even in the Democratic primary, I would say. Who knows?
You know, I brought up worldview, and I don't really know what Commander Kelly's association is with worldview. I think he, at one time, I do know he was on the board, but they announced a layoff of 10 employees. And of course, the question is 10 a percentage of a large number, a median number? How many employees do you think they have?
I don't know exactly, yeah. But my colleague Dave Wickner, who's written about them mm-hmm. at the Star, mm-hmm. told me that as of a little over a year ago, they had 70-some.
Okay.
So I'd presume that it was more than that, mm-hmm. and then they laid off. Now, and then they laid off 10. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting to note that Worldview, of course, was supported by subsidies from Pima County taxpayers,
yes.
and they have certain levels of employment that they're required to reach in each 5-year segment of their 20-year deal with the county. So if I recall correctly, it's something like 100 employees by the end of the first 5 years. So that's the magnitude they're supposed to be at over the next couple of years.
I know Supervisor Allie Miller on her Facebook page jumped all over this, Joe Ferguson, that this was somehow indicative of hard times for Worldview and that the county made a mistake by supporting them.
Well, I don't know that. I'm not a business reporter, but what I've been told by some of my sources is that there is some changes in management at Worldview, but that when you have a company like this, you know, there is influx between, you know, employees, and that layoffs, while unfortunate, are sometimes part of, you know, growing.
Yeah, I wouldn't. We need to know more before we know whether this is a sign of real bad times or something. By the way, Mark Kelly, just looking on their webpage, is listed as a co-founder and strategic advisor of Worldview.
Okay. On my list of things to talk about, and I'm quickly running out of time, I do want to talk a little bit about the mayoral race. Randy Dorman, been associated with Downtown Development, mm-hmm. Announced her candidacy this week. We had Rahina Romero sit down with us yesterday for a half hour. Rahina, Ward 1 council person, served on the council. She'll be wrapping up 12 years. Of course, Steve Farley is in it. So we've got a three-way Democratic race. We've got Mr. Ackerley.
Ed Ackerley.
Ed is the independent. So how do you see that race shaping up, Joe and Tim? Tim first.
Oh, well, I see. Rahina Romero has a solid
Loyal
following, sure. And such. Steve Farley does too, though.
Yes.
Randy Dorman, I'm not quite sure where. Now, she's been very involved, but I'm not quite sure where her support comes from. I can imagine she'd have significant donations, but I don't see the grassroots support that I would for the other two for her candidacy. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I was at her kickoff on Tuesday night, and I saw a lot of familiar faces. It was well attended, and they were absolutely collecting signatures as well as donations. So I think that they have a solid campaign ahead of them, and I think that they are taking it very, very seriously and are putting, you know, resources into a full-fledged run. So I wouldn't count her out yet, but I think that, you know, we are fairly early in this race, and we're going to know a lot more when everybody comes up with their signatures in a couple of months.
Oh. Yeah, so what is the deadline for that? Like May?
It is May.
It's May, yeah.
And it's 10,000 signatures?
Oh, no. It's far less than that. It's several thousand for Democrats. And I think that, you know, this race might be over, though, in August. So without a primary or without a Republican candidate, we're going to have a Democrat in August, and then we're going to have a couple of independents also running for it, which mm-hmm. will have some name recognition issues, I suspect, you know,
and
running
also,
as independent.
I suppose if there's two independents, they'd also take votes from each other and boost the Democrat, no?
Yeah, I think so. And we've never seen an independent candidate win the mayoralship since we started this whole thing back in the early days.
The Holcomb days?
Yeah.
But we've seen a Republican.
Sure. But yeah, we have no announced Republican candidate today.
Mm. Mm. We don't really have many Republican candidates on the ward
actually,
elections, do we?
I'm going to take that
other
back.
Other than Michael Hicks. And, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to take that back. We do have some minor candidates who've announced that they're seeking the Republican nomination, but nobody from the party hasn't announced or coalesce behind anybody quite yet.
We'll see who gets the signatures. Tim, what do you have coming up in for your column Sunday?
Well, that's to be determined. I did spend some time yesterday in immigration court doing some research related to the border funding issue.
You're going
to
stick with the border, you think, that topic?
After the emergency declaration. I'm going to spend a little more time thinking about
You've done water, you've done border, you've been really hitting the border hard.
Yeah. It's you know, as a local columnist, you can go a little too far, so I try to
something else. And then, Joe, your assignment will come probably today, or do you know what you're doing?
I've been working on a poll that the Daily Star has been working out with our partner, Strong Point Marketing, and we're going to talk a little bit about how Tucson, Southern Arizona feels about the border wall, about who is responsible for the shutdown, and what a border wall will and will not do if erected tomorrow.
Will those results be in the paper Sunday?
They will be in the paper Sunday, and you can get a sneak peek if you go to Tucson.com tomorrow.
It'll be interesting to see how we feel about the. I have some thoughts, but I'll wait to see how it shakes out in the Star on Sunday. Okay, gentlemen. Hope you both have a great weekend. Wish me a nice 3-day weekend, an unexpected 3-day weekend for the Buckmaster Show, as we will run a best of program because it's President's Day. But you two will be working.
We will.
Yep. All right, Tim. Have a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Bill.
Joe, all the best to you. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Matt's back from a great trip to Maui. Actually,
was he there in the snow?
Yeah, well, I don't think he saw the snow. He said he heard about it, but they had a record amount of snow on top of the big mountain there on Maui. And wind gusts, believe it or not, record wind gusts to 191 miles an hour. Now, I don't know if that was recorded up on top of the Maui Mountain or over on the Big Island, but it was almost 200 mile an hour winds. That's pretty heavy duty.
That's kite flying weather.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Matt Russell next. Gentlemen, have a great weekend. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Do you think termites cause the most damage to your home? Think again. It's the pack rat that is the real king when it comes to causing damage to your property. This is Brett Holland, owner of Gecko Pest Management. Gecko Pest Management can help eliminate all of your unwanted pests, from roaches to termites, scorpions, and bees. We are proud of our A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and the Super Service Awards from Angie's List. So for all of your unwanted pests, call Gecko Pest Management at 579-1701 or online at geckopest.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual travel showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Stir it up, baby. It's time for the weekend. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a pleasant three-hour drive from the Tucson area. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or hanging out and enjoying some fine dining in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The longtime host of Weekend Watch is Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell of On the Menu Live fame, is really waiting to tell us all about what's going on this weekend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm still hanging loose on Maui time. so much fun. Quickly, as I'm in the jetway about to board the plane to come back home, I'm standing behind the owner of Terrazas Funeral Chapel in Silver City, New Mexico.
Wow!
Because of your show, I felt that I could have an informed conversation with him about the great places to stay and many things to do. Who knew?
There you go. Nice little placement there for Silver City. Thank you so much, Matt. What's going on? Give us a nice happy hour.
Yeah, my pick today is inspired by the 90s, a great decade for me. I got married in the 90s. Both my kids were born in the 90s, which is why I'm excited about Oban's new cocktail menu, because each of their drinks is named for a distinct moment from 1990s pop culture. Like the Revenge of the Nerds, which has vodka and Satol and fresh lemon garnished with Nerds candies, of course. And the Living La Vida Mocha, which has mezcal and port wine syrup and chili pepper bitters. There's so much more, and you can relive all your favorite moments from the 90s over cocktails today at Oban.
Weekend Watch, one of the staples of the watch, is something about craft beer.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of Arizona Beer Week, Bill. And brewers across town are celebrating with some fun and fresh offerings, but the big event is tomorrow downtown. It's the annual Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. More than 25 brewers across Arizona are going to be setting up at venues all around downtown, pouring samples of their best. Your ticket will get you a tasting glass, a wristband, and a map, and you'll be ready to navigate around this sudsy scene from 1 to 5 p.m. Plan for an Uber and get your tickets at TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com.
Matt, any suggestions about a weekend brunch?
Yeah, a couple of months ago I talked about the opening of Tito and Pep on Speedway between Columbus and Alvernon. They've made a lot of news on the local dinner scene, but now they've added a weekend brunch to their lineup. It got my attention. One of the more imaginative items that I've seen there is their version of Eggs Benedict, which has poached eggs, pork carnitas, beans on a Mexican baguette with habanero hollandaise. Oh, Nelly, that's comfort food to the max at Tito and Pep's weekend brunch.
Good weekend to you, Matt Russell. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophon. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everyone here at KVOI. 1030 The Voice, including my engineer producer Bob Dio, the entire team at Bustos Media, including production manager and funny man Jerry Cross, operations manager Ray Allen, Alicia and Elsa in the front office. All of us have the same wish for you. A great weekend. Back with you Monday.